Yeah. jagat is your world. Udbhava, creation, sthiti, maintenance, layeshu, in annihilation, daivata, destiny, bahu, many, vidyamana, being variegated in gunaya, by material qualities, ahamaya, by his material energy, rachata, produced, atma, in living entities, vedamataye, who are produced different inclinations, sva samstaya, by his internal potency, vinivartata, cause to stop, the Brahma, interaction, guna, of material bodies, atmane, unto him, namaha, obeisances. Translation, we offer our respectful obeisances unto the Supreme, who has created varieties, manifestations, and put them under the spell of the three qualities of the material world, in order to create, maintain, and annihilate them. He himself is not under the control of the external energy. In his personal feature, he is completely devoid of the variegated manifestation of material qualities, and he is under no illusion of false identification. Part two situations are described in this verse. One is the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the material world. The other is the Lord's own establishment. There is also quality in the Lord's own establishment of the kingdom of God. It is stated here that Goloka is his personal situation. There is also quality in Goloka, but that quality is not divided into creation, maintenance, and annihilation. In the external energy, the interaction of the three qualities makes it possible for things to be created, maintained, and annihilated. But in the spiritual world or kingdom of God, there is no such exhibition, since everything is eternal, sentient, and blissful. There is a class of philosophers who misunderstand the appearance of the personality of God within this material world. They are under the impression that when the Supreme Personality of God appears, he is under the spell of three qualities, like all other living entities who appear within this material world. That is their misunderstanding. As it is clearly stated here, by his eternal potency, he is transcendental to all these material qualities. Similarly, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, I appear by my internal potency. Both the internal and external potencies are under the control of the Supreme. So he does not come under the control of either of these potencies. Further, everything is under his control. In order to manifest his transcendental name, form, qualities, pastimes, and paraphernalia, he brings into action his internal energy. On account of the variegatedness of the external energy, there are manifestations of the many qualitative demigods, beginning with Brahma and Lord Shiva and people, are attracted to these demigods according to their own material quality. But when one is transcendental or surpasses the material qualities, he is simply fixed in the worship of the Supreme Personality. This fact is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Anyone engaged in the service of the Lord is already transcendental to the variegatedness interaction of the three material qualities. The summary is that the conditioned souls are being pulled by the action and reaction of the material qualities, which create a differentiation of energies. But in the spiritual world, the worshipable one is the Supreme Lord, man, no one else. Translation, we offer our respectful obeisances unto the Supreme who has created varieties of manifestations. Put them under the spell of the three qualities of the material world in order to create, maintain, and annihilate them. He himself is not under the control of the external energy. In his personal feature, he is completely devoid of the variegated manifestation of material qualities and is under no illusion of false identification. So this is still the yogi speaking, and in the previous verse they define the Lord in terms of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, and here again they praise the Supreme Lord, understanding that he is beyond the material gunas. At the same time, he is the cause of the material world. He's beyond the material world, but he's also the cause of the material world. So the cause of the material world is made up of gunas, to say it here, and the gunas create great variety in the material world. But the problem is that it is created and destroyed. So it's temporary. So it is a great variety and may be very attractive to the living entities, but it is subject to creation and destruction. So therefore, it is not of very much value, ultimately. What is the cause of the creation, maintenance, and destruction? It is the Supreme Lord. So material world is useless because of its changeable nature. And it is ultimately caused by the Supreme Lord. Now, the Supreme Lord, if he causes this material world, does he become contaminated by it? Like if I make a pot, and the pot has a crack in it, then I have to blame the potter. If the pot comes out crooked and doesn't stand properly, or leaks or whatever, I blame the potter. So, similarly, we can say, look, material world is faulty. It is destructible. There are sinful activities here. Therefore, we should blame the potter, the Supreme Lord. Because the Lord is not intelligent, he has made a world that is destructible and full of bad things. So this is the normal, let's say, the obvious argument against God. If there's suffering in this world, how can there be God? Because God should not have any suffering here. So this is a common argument given. I don't believe in God because the world is so miserable. So this is a philosophical question also. It's an emotional question for many people. It also becomes a philosophical question in religion. And all religions have to deal with this somehow or other, and they all have some sort of explanation for it or whatever. So that is the problem of evil in the material world, etc. So, and in India also the same situation arises. How does the Lord relate with matter? Because it is achit and full of fault, and the Lord is supposed to be perfect. How is that possible that he creates something that's faulty? So, there is all sorts of philosophical things to do with this. Ultimately, it revolves around, there are different solutions to the question. One is, there is no material world, so there's no fault on the Lord's part, because it's only illusory. So no fault on the Lord, because he doesn't create a material world, it's illusory, actually. That's Mayavad philosophy. It's only Brahman exists, nothing else really exists, therefore we can't say the material world is faulty or anything. It doesn't exist. It's an illusion. So matter is substance, doesn't exist. There are other philosophies that accept a real world, then they have to deal with it. So therefore we have Dvaita philosophy, Visishtadvaita philosophy, Chintavaita philosophy, etc. We have all sorts of philosophies to deal with the relationship of God to the material world, how he's different from it but controls it, and out of his wisdom he uses it for certain purposes. That's Dvaita philosophy. Or he is everything also, the world is part of him, as like part of the body. And therefore we cannot criticize it. And again, the Lord has ultimately control over everything. So there's different ways of explaining the relationship of material world to God. But in any case, all of these explanations show how the Lord is independent of the material world, even though he controls it. The only problem is, if he controls it all, why do people suffer? So the solution for the Vaishnavas is because of the jivas. The jivas create the problems because of sinful activities. Therefore they suffer. So that is the Vaishnava solution. It's not exactly material nature, it's the jiva situation that causes the suffering in the material world. The Supreme Lord creates the material world, destroys the material world, does all of this, and he has no fault in this because he has a higher purpose. and that is purification of the jivas. Here, the sages are saying that he is actually devoid of interaction with the modes of material nature. That means he has no ignorance. He is devoid of the ignorance of the material world, even though he manifests and destroys and controls the material world. So he is not like the jivas in the material world who are influenced by matter. So, though he has the power of creation and destruction, he is not affected by anything in the material world. He's completely independent. Of course, what is his situation? Beyond the material world. What does he do beyond the material world? So, then we will have what the sages, the yogis previously said. He manifests as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. None of these are affected by matter. They're beyond matter. If we accept simply avoidance of gunas, then that is like Brahman. No more material influence. So we take the coverings of the material world away, reject everything, and we're left with spirit. So that is Brahman. And then if we understand that somehow the Lord creates, maintains, and destroys the material worlds, he must do some activity. must be involved in something in order to carry all that activity out. So therefore he has a form. And that is the form of Paramatma, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Kshiradakshaya Vishnu. Huh? They are responsible for production and annihilation of the material world. So this, of course, is the, let's say, the directest relationship of God with the material world. The material, everything is inside the Lord, and comes out of the Lord, and he instigates by his willpower and his glance the operation of Prakriti, the evolution of Prakriti, etc. And the result is material worlds, and then we get Garbhadakshaya Vishnu entering inside matter, and Kshiradakshaya Vishnu entering into all the bodies of all the jivas. To that extent, the Lord is involved in the material world. But still, he is separate by his inconceivable energy. He is not contaminated by any of that. So he does contact material world in one sense, because he enters inside it, but at the same time, he remains separate. So that is the aspect, that's how the Lord operates in relation to the material world, without being affected. So many people will end there. Yes, God is the creator and destroyer of the material world. But as we see from Bhagavatam, the Lord also has a spiritual world. He does not simply create and destroy material worlds, but he has a spiritual world beyond the creation and destruction of material worlds. And he is continually there enjoying his pastimes. So that is the Bhagavan aspect of the Lord. So the Bhagavan aspect is completely disconnected from material world and its creation and destruction. There is a difference. Where when the Lord connects with the material world, then he is the Paramatma teacher. So therefore we have realization of God in these three features, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. And according to the sadhana and the desire, one achieves any of these. Brahman through jnana, Paramatma through yoga, and Bhagavan through bhakti. So specific processes give specific results. So in this way, all three aspects of the Lord fit this definition in one sense. He's beyond the material world, he's untouched by the material world, that part. And then the aspects of creation and destruction of the material world, that part fits the Paramatma feature of the Lord. And if we take the Swasamstaya aspect, that he is not under the control of the material energy, at the same time he has his own powers by which he does that, and he has his own situation, then that represents the Bhagavan aspect. So, therefore, the yogis here appreciate the three features of the Supreme Lord. In any case, unaffected by the material energy and superior to it. So they're offering their respects to this Lord here, devoid of gunas of the material world and its illusions. Why does he make the material world? Because the jiva's desire, ignorant jiva's desire, separate existence from the Lord. Well, he creates the material world for them. So, therefore, the material world's ultimate cause is the jiva's. The Lord is the actual cause, in one sense, but he does that in response to the jiva's. That's all. So don't blame the Lord, blame the jiva's. Well, just like the father gives the child candy or whatever, when the child complains too much, give them sweets, keep them quiet. So the Lord does that for the jivas also when they're too unmanageable. What's all? Oh, those who worship Shiva go to Shiva. Now, in terms of Vatsala, this in the previous verse, Vatsala was talking about the Supreme Lord who is merciful, who is devotee. So that's the Bhagavan aspect. Vatsala, affectionate towards devotees. Well, we can look at the spiritual world. There's more jivas there. So, therefore we have to attribute the problem to the choice of the jiva, not to the Supreme Lord, because at the same time, any jiva in the material world can go to the spiritual world. So that's the free will of the jiva. So ultimately, the jiva is free to choose where he wants to be in the material world or the spiritual world. If he chooses spiritual world, then he can go there. The Lord has him, is very willing to let him go there. Unfortunately, most jivas don't want that. So what can the Lord do? That's all. Just like the prison house, we cannot blame the government for the prison house because the prisoners are there. There's a function for it because people who commit crimes must go to prison and not disturb everybody. So, in that sense, yes, there's suffering for the prisoners, so we can say yes, the government can be blamed for the suffering of the prisoners, yes, but still, why are they suffering like that? Because they've done that bad activities. So if the Lord has the law of karma in the material world, he says, we can ultimately say, yes, that's the Lord's. We can blame the Lord for the law of karma. But again, that's simply like blaming the government for having a prison.
Given the part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, how come they did they learn the first simple activity? Simple activity, they can learn from somewhere.
Well, it's just that there's no beginning of the jiva. They don't, in other words, when a child is born, also, why is he ignorant? Where does ignorance come from? We don't ask that question either.
They learn from surrounding circumstances.
But they're still ignorant. So, jivas by nature are conscious. And then they have an inclination. Inclination may be towards the Lord or against the Lord. If it is against the Lord, there is the material world, it's they. For the Lord, there is the spiritual world. Where does it come from? This is their nature. But that nature can also change. Ignorance is the nature of the jiva, of those jivas, but that can be changed, but it takes time. So that's why the jiva stay in the material world so long. Because the ignorance is very strong. But it can change. We could also say the same thing in the spiritual. Yes, it is possible. But the Lord also does something special for those jivas. And gives them special power so that they don't change after that point. Special chit shakti is there by which the jivas don't fall into ignorance again. So that guarantees they don't fall from the spiritual world. So how do we get out of ignorance? Through knowledge, through bhakti, through association, through scripture. So the Lord supplies the processes for the jivas to get out, and by their free will they can take up the process. No, they're not always here. They can go to the spiritual world by their free will. So any jiva has the possibility of going to the spiritual world. But most jivas don't take the opportunity, that's all. No beginning. The material world just keeps going on and on and on and on. Mahavishnu keeps producing and destroying universes. That's it. Even the theory of science, the same. Universe created, destroyed, universe created, destroyed, created, destroyed. Same. Scientists also agree. It's not only one creation of the universe, it's cyclic.
Thank you.